Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
God, I love hearing that.
So do I.
I'm John DeSando.
I'm Ezra Hoover.
And this is Back Talk. And you know, one of the reasons I have you here is for a little comic relief, but also because you have an affinity for South Korean or Korean movies.
Sure,
right?
Sure. And any horror, but they do an especially good job.
Oh, boy, they are good. And your wife, Adria, yes, as well. So but I have an intuition about this kind of thing. I knew you'd be perfect for this. Bong Joon-ho.
Correct.
Is the director here. And I would say in the world today, he's one of the top directors.
Absolutely. With Parasite, he kind of broken onto the scene. He had been around for many decades, actually, before that, but that's his first critical success, at least in the U.S.
Mickey 17.
Mickey 17.
This is sci-fi. Set it up for us.
So Mickey 17 stars Robert Pattinson of Twilight fame, who has really reinvented himself and is unrecognizable for those who haven't seen him since.
Has he moved on? In both of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she has, too.
She has. Yeah. Kristen Stewart also. And they're both fantastic actors.
Yes.
Shockingly. This movie is about the dystopian future where technology to reproduce oneself and basic infinite reincarnation is achieved. And Robert Pattinson becomes an expendable, and they use him for dangerous missions because they know if he dies, they just print him out again. Poor guy.
He's such a dork. He doesn't even read the fine print.
He doesn't.
Because he's going to be dying every day.
He just wanted out.
And give Pattinson credit. He plays a dimwit, but a likable dimwit.
He does. And he actually plays multiple characters.
Yes.
Himself.
And so when he gets to be 18 and you have the two of them, that's the oddity here. That was not meant to be.
It wasn't.
He's supposed to die, and he didn't die.
It's not allowed in this world. It's illegal. You can't have multiple. You can only print yourself out if you delete
the old one first. Yes. They call them multiples.
No multiples.
And he's not quite like him, which is a nice touch, I thought.
No. I think each iteration is slightly different. They hinted that in the movie. We don't see too much of it. But there's a scene where he's talking to himself, and it's fantastic. He's a great actor.
Yes.
It almost reminded me of the great Andy Serkis doing Gollum in Lord of the Rings.
Yes,
the ability to just switch back and forth at the same time.
Boy, his life changed with that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people suddenly say, who is this?
Oh, yeah. And now he's a monkey on screen, too.
What makes this worthy of anybody walking into that theater to see it?
Well, I think by any fan of sci-fi and horror dystopian films, space films, because this is a mashup of all of those.
Yes,
Bong Joon-ho is a solid, experienced screenwriter. It's a well-packaged movie. Takes on maybe a bit more than it can chew.
It is overstuffed.
It does. It is stuffed. But just Robert Pattinson's performance alone is worth the ticket.
Yeah. And I always get a kick out of Mark Ruffalo.
Right. Oh, yeah. Mark Ruffalo. You know, he's another actor that's completely different. I didn't even know about him until his Marvel performances.
Oh, didn't you?
As the Hulk and Avengers. And he was wasted on those. He's meant to be a slime ball, a baddie. And his character in Mickey 17 reminds me of the one he did in Poor Things.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Very good. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Right. But this one is not quite as good. This one is a Trump evangelist type character.
It is. And that actually makes the movie somewhat for me. It may be too much spot on for the Trump satire.
Right.
But he has moved out to this other planet.
Right. He's become a cult leader of sorts.
Yeah.
And he goes out into space to a planet 4 years away. And there's some kind of race theory in there. There's all kinds of stuff. This movie is chock full. You won't be bored. It's at least three different movies all in the same runtime.
You can never be dull if Toni Collette is your wife.
Toni Collette does her.
Because she goes over the top,
too. Oh, yeah. They had a lot of fun, I think, playing this role.
They're a cult leader, and there are things that they want out of their cultists that are so reminiscent of what's going around the world and our own time.
Right. And I do think one of the main themes that Bong Joon-ho likes to explore is, you know, imperialism.
Yes.
Colonialism.
Yes. Capitalism.
Capitalism as well. Those themes are definitely explored in this movie, perhaps not quite as deeply as we could.
He's not afraid, is he, to tackle these topics?
Oh, no.
And there is a lightness about what he does that makes me say, this is a really profound director.
It is.
Taking topics that are actually searing the lives of the people who are watching this,
right,
and lightening that up in a way. And Ruffalo goes over the top as well as she does.
He does. A lot of people are branding this as a dark comedy. I mean, I guess
well,
it
they
is.
Say it.
Right.
Okay. It is. They say it is, but are you skeptical?
I'm not sure. No. I mean, I do love that there's balance. Some movies are so heavy. Compare this to a recent space sci-fi movie like Alien, the reinvention of Alien. That's a much heavier movie.
Yes.
And you feel kind of exhausted. This is much more lighthearted.
Well, you're reminding me, there's another movie out there, My Dead Friend Zoe.
Okay.
And it is labeled as a dark comedy.
Is it?
And Zoe, who is actually dead but still haunting her buddy, her best friend in the military, has lines that are funny,
right,
but they're hardly qualify the movie as a comedy, even a dark comedy.
Everyone has their own definition, I think.
This is where the people who promote these films, they want to get that word comedy in there because they don't want you to stay away just because you think it's too heavy.
So I'm curious, we've talked about the movie being multiple pieces. Which part of the movie did you find the most interesting?
Oh, boy.
Was it the original kind of Groundhog Day part, or was it the more straightforward alien encounter part?
I'll tell you, the part that really excites me is the part that we've been talking about, mm-hmm, which is the Donald Trumpish satire. That is, I'm always fascinated, and I have been my birth on. I've been in the century that's filled with autocrats, mm-hmm, and I'm always fascinated by watching what they do, mm-hmm, and how people respond. And only till recently have I begun to understand, mm-hmm, how these autocrats flourish.
Right.
I begin to see they're much like what I used to see on these preachers on TV, mm-hmm, these televangelists.
Oh, yeah. There's some of that in there.
I used to watch them. I wouldn't give a darn about what they were saying, but what I am interested in is their methods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how they get and they push people to.
Well, I received quite a few vials of holy water in the mail in an envelope from those guys. I didn't donate anything. I think I got a prayer penny once. I hope I don't offend any religious people, but no prayer pennies.
But their style is fantastic.
Well, they're so charismatic.
Yes, I know.
Which is part of the reason why Mark Ruffalo's portrayal falls a little flat. It's kind of goofy. Hard to believe people would follow him.
That's a great point.
Right.
And going over the top, he waters down the effect.
A little bit. But you always wonder, why are they following them? And then why did it take so long for them to revolt? And they eventually do in the movie. So it definitely follows real life that way.
Yeah, it does. And so we're probably get to console the people who are listening to our show. They realize that we are neither liberal nor conservative.
Oh,
we're
right
pretty straight online. But if they have any hope, it's possible that the people will rise up.
Just go 4 years, light years away to the nearest planet.
Right, yeah, right. What part for you? I think it's a great question.
I would really hope that they would explore more. There's a lot in there, and I'm sorry, but there will probably be some spoilers in what I'm going to say. But the beginning of the process of becoming an expendable is that he has to kill himself. And they have to make sure he's not afraid to do that. So he does. They kind of skip over that. And they also mentioned that each iteration is slightly different. They said number 8 was kind of dumb or something. So
exactly.
I would like to see more of that. That would be kind of interesting.
And I'll tell you, you reminded me that another part that really fascinated me, for which there was no answer.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like to die?
Yes, he won't answer the question. Maybe that's on purpose. I almost felt like he did it on purpose. They kept asking, what's it like to die? And he'd never answer the question.
Right, because that's the first question you'll ask somebody who has died.
What do you see?
What's it like? And everybody talks about the light, the tunnel, and all that stuff. And I hope they're right.
Well, you know what you see when you die, at least if you're Mickey, is the inside of a printer.
That's what they call it, not cloning.
Right.
They call it printing. Ezra, what do you recommend about this movie?
You should see it. Some directors and filmmakers are iconic enough that it's worth at least experiencing their work for yourself. I think it's a solid movie, if perhaps not great, but definitely entertaining.
It's not his greatest movie. And it is his only third, I think, in English. If you care about cinema at all, and we have many nerds who watch our show,
right,
you must see it because you must see his oeuvre.
Yes.
You have to understand it.
It's all about the oeuvre.
And boy, it is so much better than almost anything else out there.
Absolutely.
Give me a little bit of an overview on Bong Joon-ho. You know, what is he like as a director? Or can you meta that?
Right. His first movie, and it's worth watching, all the way back in the 80s, is actually a small town murder mystery based on a true story. And it is gritty. It is dark. If you like crime procedurals, gritty criminal underbelly type movies, it is fantastic. And I still think it's maybe his best work.
I thought you were going to say Host. That's how I first.
Oh, nope. Even before that, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So there's smaller stuff, but
yes.
When you get to Host, that's...
Right. One of the scariest movies, for sure.
Oh, it is good.
Yep. And then there's Okja as well.
Yeah.
That was a big critically acclaimed movie as well.
A little bit like the one we're talking about.
Yes.
All right, good.
Yes. As well as Parasite which would be the next
The one that places him in the pantheon of great directors.
Right, absolutely. And that one has all the classic themes that you tend to see in many movies, but especially in Korean movies, examination of class, hierarchy.
Oh, the one that to me steps right out for class is The Train.
Right. Oh, yeah, Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer. Talk of being on point.
Right.
I mean, the back of the train,
absolutely.
Four people
front
in the
or
front.
The back.
Ed Harris in the front.
He definitely loves a good allegory. Absolutely.
He does. He's very
and
good.
He's really good at combining gritty realism with just enough of the whimsical and slapstick. Balance it all out to make for a really enjoyable film.
If you think, foreign films, no, believe me. You are going to be in for a treat.
Films are all quite different as well.
Yeah, they are, but still, I think you're right. There's an awful lot of class awareness in these, and he does a super job. Now, somebody else that both of us have grown to admire, and I have to admit, I socked away in my memory as a great actor when he did The Lighthouse.
Oh, yes. Do you mean Robert Pattinson?
I do. Well, we could have said Defoe.
Willem Defoe's a little older, but they're both, who would think we'd be mentioning them in the same sentence
as thank
great
you. Yes.
actors? And his first movie, I don't know if you can name Robert Pattinson's first movie, but it is Harry Potter. He started as Cedric
Diggory.
Did
he really?
Yes, as
wow.
Harry Potter. Then he went on to Twilight.
Yeah,
which he was not a fan of, and he's pretty vocal about not enjoying that, but that gave him the critical acclaim.
Oh, I wouldn't watch his subsequent films, or at least I was resistant,
right.
because
right.
I said, no, not Twilight. But when I did see it, one was a gangster type
right.
of movie.
Yes, that was the next one, and he knew that. He went out of his way to take on small independent roles and try to reinvent himself, and he succeeded.
Yeah.
You know, how many actors actually just stay, and you think about Mark Wahlberg.
And right, I have to say, as a side note, right. mentioned it before, Kristen Stewart has also become a fine actress.
Absolutely.
The two of them.
Yep. Multiple awards, I think. Yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
And a funny parallel would be to draw would be between Robert Pattinson and then maybe Daniel Radcliffe, who played Harry Potter himself.
Thank
one
you.
Is much more successful at escaping that stereotype.
Yeah, yeah right.
And
yeah.
he's still trying to get away from Harry
he
Potter.
Is,
he can't.
He?
He's just too iconic.
In part, his look.
It is. It's just so on. It's so on point.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Oh,
right? He's Wolverine forever.
Oh, he is. Here we're talking about a sci-fi, and I think people should listen to our show, to its movie time, to listen to our analysis of that. And let's move on a little bit on sci-fi.
Sure.
Now, when talking about our director here, we're in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a sci-fi that stands out for you, that litmus test for good sci-fi?
There's so many
I know.
Out there. And I have the luxury of a list.
I know you do.
depends how far back you want to go. 2001, A Space Odyssey, one of my favorites.
Did you ever see Metropolis?
That one I have not seen.
Yeah, wow. That's one of the originals.
It is.
And she's a creation.
Okay.
So some of this, we're bringing it in. There are not that many clone movies. I have mm-hmm. the names of some clone movies.
Okay.
But really, we're talking about the same thing, some kind of artificial.
There was Ex Machina recently.
Oh, listen.
That's a great film.
One of the greatest clone movies ever.
Fantastic. Very well done. Rather straightforward, but very well done and very enjoyable.
Oh, my gosh.
The visual effects are really good, too.
Oscar Isaac?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Jeez.
Fantastic. Well, he did Dune, so he gets more brownie points for me. He didn't like Dune as much as I did.
But that one, Ex Machina,
yes.
if you're really interested in cerebral
mm-hmm.
sci-fi, and in this whole cyborg deal, that's a movie that you can see, and anybody can enjoy it. You don't have to be hardcore.
Right. That's what I love about sci-fi as a genre. It's so wide-sweeping.
I do, too.
Think about the movie with Joaquin Phoenix, where he just talks to an life form the whole time.
But you see, the problem with that is that I'm in love with Scarlett Johansson.
Well, there you go. And so is he, at least her voice.
And even having her on a TV screen and not even seeing what she looks like. Just her voice. This
just
woman.
A podcast version of Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. What else we got? In a way that might be, for instance, the children of people who are listening to us. Mm-hmm. Jurassic Park.
Okay, yeah.
Okay? Now, that's something everybody can enjoy.
And that's my favorite genre. So my favorite subgenre is sci-fi horror. And some people actually classify the original Jurassic Park as a monster movie because that T-Rex is coming and running away from it.
Yeah.
So having that sci-fi element, but also some of the darker elements, is that's right up my alley.
Yeah,
fantastic movie. And they're going to remake that.
I saw that.
It might actually be good this time.
And Scarlett's in it.
Yeah,
nope.
But even more reason for you
to watch my gosh, I'll be there. And Wayne
and
will
no
be
Chris
there.
Pratt.
I think even he wakes up when she comes on.
You have my favorite on this list, actually, Interstellar. That's probably my favorite.
Interstellar is such a sophisticated film.
Fantastic.
It is really good.
I don't think there's another movie that explores time travel. The concept of relativity and different perceptions
of
time.
And relationships, which is always the saving grace for me, even in Pattinson in our current movie.
And it has Jessica Chastain, so that helps too.
Oh, and that's right, too. And he has two, not one, but two. So he's a pretty sexy guy in this, as dumb as he is. He's not dumb to have two of the best ladies in the universe.
Right, exactly.
One that didn't start me on sci-fi, but as a younger man, caught my fancy, and that was Forbidden Planet. Did you ever see it?
No, remind me.
Okay. This has Walter Pidgeon in it.
Okay.
Robbie the Robot.
Okay.
And that appears again in Lost in Space or whatever the heck they call
it. Oh, the Danger Will Robinson robot?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Very good.
You give me some homework here.
Yeah. And once again, you can see how actually simple-minded I am. I think it was Anne Francis who caught my fancy.
Okay.
And this was an actress. Quite a lovely.
Well, I see your motivation is at least consistent. Consistent motivation.
But I mean, a lot of this is about family and connections and love and all that. You were mentioning this about sci-fi.
Right. What I'd love to discuss with you is are movies that kind of span multiple generations. So did you watch Planet of the Apes when it first came out?
I sure did.
You did? Okay.
Yes, I did.
And then what are your feelings on it? Did you like the way the series went?
All right. I like it because it's so utterly human.
Right.
It's about monkeys or whatever, but it is about human.
Damn dirty apes.
But you know what the problem with me is? I am so distracted by how well they do it.
Oh, yeah.
Visually.
The visual effects are amazing. I think it won an award for the first one for
I
best
think it
visual.
Must have.
Yeah, motion capture in the work of Andy Serkis. Again.
Yes.
He's a fantastic actor.
You can talk about what we've manifested since the beginning, since 2001 when he threw the jawbone in the air.
Yes, right.
Right.
And a fun fact about that movie, the originals. So Charlton Heston, is the lead man in that. And it was a great first movie, but they decided to make it into a franchise. So they've been doing this a long time, milking franchises.
Yeah, right.
It was either the second or the third one. He was so tired of it. He said, fine, I'll do it, only if you kill me in the first 5 minutes. And they do. And he dies almost immediately.
Is that right? Let me see if there's another that could possibly... How about Blade Runner?
Fantastic.
Now, we're talking replicants, something?
Right. Replicants and that kind of dystopian future.
Yes.
In terms of setting the vibe, that's such a fantastic movie.
Mickey 17.
Mm-hmm. Very similar.
Visual.
Very similar.
That dark, noirish sci-fi.
Yep.
I mean, really do a good job.
And the Blade Runner gets down into the really, really cerebral sci-fi where it's almost, you'll have to pay attention or else you get lost a little bit.
Yeah,
it's not like RoboCop. It's a little different.
Well, yeah. No, that's a good choice. Because I was going to enter in our consideration Terminator.
Terminator, yep. One of my favorite action movies, Terminator 2.
Okay, well, I can't possibly define the difference between the two.
Yeah.
But the humanity of Arnold, for instance, alone.
One of the best physical actors of all time.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
his presence and his accent. What a gift. All you have to do is your regular accent, and you get paid millions of dollars.
He lives in the town that my daughter lives in.
Does he?
And he drives his Humvee all over the place.
Oh, my gosh. with the cigar,
My son-in-law, who works in a bicycle shop there, is Sun Valley, Idaho.
Okay.
A long conversation with a bicycle.
Oh, really?
Yes. But he and Jamie Lee Curtis both live there. You talk about iconic.
Really?
Yeah.
True Lies.
I know it.
Fantastic movie.
Well, any others in that? I wanted to mention those movies just because we are a fountain of knowledge here. And of cloning, I have four or five, but a couple that seem really interesting to me. One called Moon.
Moon.
And this is with Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
And Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
So you know it's a few years ago. And
still making good movies, by the way.
Astronaut Sam Bell has a quintessentially, this is an out of work English major, writing this.
Okay.
Quintessentially personal encounter toward the end of his 3-year stint on the moon, where he working alongside his computer, Gertie. That's the thing, G-E-R-T-Y, sends back to Earth parcels of a resource that help diminish our planet's power problems. How about that? Not bad. Now, one directly cloning is called the sixth day in 2000.
Okay.
A man meets a clone of himself. Uh-huh. Now, I find this fascinating. Uh-huh. And stumbles into a grand conspiracy about clones taking over the world.
Right.
Now, that sounds like it's made for it.
I think one of the biggest barriers to clone movies is you have to have the same person on the screen at the same time. And it's only very recently that we've had the CGI capabilities to make that look good.
Yes. And it dovetails with my perception that I'm so dim-witted that I'm distracted.
Right. And a great example of it done poorly would be Gemini Man with Will Smith that just came out recently.
Oh, really?
Terrible CGI effects. They tried to de-age him, and it's not really a great look. Poor Will Smith.
Ezra Hoover, you're so much fun. And we are out of time. But we have enough time to say that we have been discussing Mickey 17.
Yep.
And a variety of other sci-fi movies, and we've got to get some more people to man the lines because they'll be calling all over the place.
We got a seat for you, Mr. Bong.
What do you recommend?
Definitely go see it. You'll enjoy it. It's long, though. Bring some pop.
Rob Pattinson.
Yes.
And it's the great South Korean director. It's got a whole bunch of things for people who are even justly interested in cinema, not the way we are, who are wondering what's going on around here. Go to your theater. You can almost be guaranteed it'll be like a private showing.
Right.
But for many of these, and one of the strong features of sci-fi is their visuals.
Right, absolutely. And I thought the visuals were fantastic in this one.
I did too. So you'll have this huge screen, you'll have the visuals, and if you have a buddy who's as sane as, say, Wayne, it's a full afternoon.
It's a popcorn flick.
It is.